Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. We're in part four of our discussion with Dr. Jonathan Stapley, and we'll talk about Elder Oak's groundbreaking 2014 address. Yes, I said groundbreaking. I have to say, I had a little bit different take than Jonathan on this one. But in our next conversation, Dr. Jonathan Stapley talks about why this was such a groundbreaking address. Check out our conversation. I wanted to mention one other thing. I was talking with one of my listeners up in Boise at Mormon History Association, and he mentioned he was interested in supporting us here, but didn't really want a transcript. So if that's the case, you can just click on the donate button, and you could do a one-time donation. Or if you want to contribute monthly, you can still click on the subscribe button, but just send me a note at gospeltangents@gmail.com and just say, hey, I don't really want the transcript. I'd love to make some Mormon history classes. We're probably going to be starting up a Patreon page here soon. And so we'd just love to get as much support as we can so that we can start building some of these other resources and help people learn more about Mormon history. So thanks again. Back to our conversation. One of the other things that you had mentioned in your book was that you had kind of seen some changes in priesthood as it relates to, especially Dallin Oak's recent talk. Sure. You had mentioned some little, as far as women in priesthood, that there had been some changes with Sonia Johnson and with Kate Kelly, and that Elder Oaks had made some different arguments with regards to priesthood, especially as women. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so there's no question that 2013 and 14, church leaders, male and female, are thinking about priesthood and wrestling with the idea of women, authority, priesthood. And there's really interesting new ideas that are happening. Up to that point, so in recent history, church leaders have often framed the issue by saying, even though men hold priesthood office, all people, male and female, can receive the blessings of the priesthood. So that was standard orthodoxy up until 2013. And by that, they meant that men and women could receive all the salvific rituals of the church and receive all the blessings through the priesthood that are offered, even though it's men that are performing the rituals. And then we see the Women's General Auxiliary Presidency making statements about working. So the Relief Society, Young Women's Primary, talking about how they are doing the work of the priesthood, or how they are utilizing the priesthood in their callings through delegations. Really interesting comments and public interviews. Elder Ballard and Elder Oaks in regional speaking assignments and at BYU talking, alluding to this idea that women can use either the power and authority of the priesthood in their respective callings in the church. And then Elder Oaks delivers this 2014 General Conference sermon, where he says that there is only priesthood power in the church. It's the power of God. And therefore, as women participate in the work of the church, they are participating in the work of the priesthood. As they access the power of God, they access the power of God, and that they are wielding the authority of the priesthood, even though they do not hold an ecclesiastical priesthood office. And immediately, that sermon created essentially a new orthodoxy. You see the lessons of the young women change. There was a lesson on priesthood and all the stuff that men do in their priesthood offices, and that was taken away and put in a new lesson on how women can participate in the work of the priesthood. And there's Friend articles and Ensign articles about women participating in the work of the priesthood and how they can use priesthood authority and have the power of the priesthood in their lives. And then the Gospel Topics essays. There's a Gospel Topic essay on Joseph Smith's teachings towards women, on women, not towards women, but on women in the church, that talks about female ritual healing and the Relief Society of Ecclesiastical Authority. And it uses Elder Oaks's framework as kind of a lens to evaluate and to kind of rationalize these experiences in Nauvoo. So that's a really interesting. When Elder Oaks delivered that sermon, I was like looking around, like, is anyone else? Like, it was like mind blowing. I couldn't believe it. And, you know, everyone else was just like, oh, yeah, this is just Elder Oaks. Revolutions happen sometimes very subtly, apparently.
Well, see, because I remember that, just thinking, this is just to placate the Kate Kelly people and to say, women, you've already got priesthood, you just didn't know it yet. But you're saying this is a theological change.
It's certainly a linguistic shift, and language frames our reality. So it is certainly, so for example, an interesting piece from Elder Oaks' sermon was he was quoting in many parts from a sermon that Joseph Fielding Smith gave to the Relief Society in a General Relief Society meeting. And in this meeting, Joseph Fielding was, as I remember, the president of the Quorum of the Twelve at the time, discussed women's authority in the church and how they were heirs to a great heritage, but also heirs to authority in their capacity of the work of the Relief Society and the temple. But he was quick to say, you have authority to do this work. You have authority in the temple, but authority is not the same thing as priesthood. And Elder Oaks takes this sermon. He talks about, he quotes Joseph Fielding Smith, how women have this great authority in the church and this great heritage. And then he stops and says, what else can this authority be except priesthood? Right? So it's this really wonderful kind of reimagining of what these terms mean. At the same time, reaching to our past to grab hold of our past and make sure we're still connected, but also in very interesting and creative ways, refashioning it in a way that makes more sense for the present.
Well, so, you know, with Elder Oaks being in the new First Presidency, I know that some people, I've seen some comments around on the blog and ACL saying that, especially Elder Oaks, but maybe Elder Nelson as well, being a little bit more open to women's issues and that sort of a thing. Do you see, and I know you're a historian, not a fortune or a fortune teller, but do you see this these healing rituals that women used to do coming back?
I don't know. I mean, it's way above my pay grade. What I can say is that we have this wonderful, rich, inspirational tradition of female ritual healing in our faith. And I have not met a single person that has become familiar with this history that hasn't found it wildly inspirational. Right? It's just too beautiful to disparage, right? So we have this wonderful tradition in our faith, in our history, and the possibility is consequently there for women to participate in different ways than they currently are in the various liturgies of the church. So the possibility is there. Whether or not we do is entirely a function of what church leaders want to do.
Is that a policy?
So people that know me know that I don't talk about doctrine and policy. I typically frame things in terms of beliefs, teachings, and church law. And that's the framework that I prefer. It's a conversation for a different day, perhaps.
Okay. I'll have to talk to Greg Prince again, I guess.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Dr. Jonathan Stapley. In our next conversation, we'll talk a little bit about alternative medicine. Are there any analogs to that in early Mormon practice? And is it just Mormons that practice alternative medicine and folk remedies?
You can go to the bookshelves of your favorite Whole Foods market that's frequented by the liberal elite, and you can hang out with evangelicals in the South, and they are both doing similar things in this area of complementary and alternative medicine. When faced with a challenge, humans want hope. And they find hope in people offering these alternative cures. Now, in Mormonism, we have really interesting relationship with these alternative cures.
Thank you so much for listening. Make sure that you like our page on facebook.com/gospeltangents. You can subscribe at YouTube at youtube.com/gospeltangents. We're also on Twitter at Gospel Tangents, as well as make sure that you subscribe on iTunes so you don't miss any of our episodes. Thanks again for listening. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here you'll see some more of our videos. Thanks again.